Dr. Drayton is an MCH epidemiologist and senior associate at Apt Associates. She serves as a project director and analytic lead for multiple evaluation programs, including Healthy Start Program and Lessons Learned from Innovative Approaches to Promoting Healthy Weight in Women.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. And today I will be presenting just a few findings from our evaluation of the Healthy Start program. I want to acknowledge that I have nothing to disclose, and the funding source for this evaluation is a HRSA contract. Let me quickly acknowledge our project team, some of whom are in the... Oh, what's going on with the movement? Yeah, this one. Okay, sorry about that. I want to acknowledge our project team. Our two Sarahs are in the audience. If you want to just stand and let everyone acknowledge your contribution to this evaluation, in addition to our project officer from HRSA, Dr. Highsmith, is also here. And I want to acknowledge Dr. Atrash, who is now the new director for Healthy Start and the Maternal Child Health Bureau. My presentation this morning will just provide a brief background of the federal Healthy Start program and just walk through what we have done to evaluate the program, just a small part of what we have done to evaluate the program. So just a quick background for those of you, some of you may already be familiar with this information, but just to let you know that the Federal Healthy Start Program, it began actually in 1991 as a five-year demonstration project around and with 15 communities across the United States that had infant mortality rates that were 1.5 to 2.5 times the national average. However, by the time we conducted this evaluation that focused on the time period between 2006 and 2010, there were 104 Healthy Start projects in 38 states, including the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. As you would imagine, the program was implemented to reduce infant mortality, and the key objectives focused on reduction in race and ethnic disparities in the access to and utilization of health services, also on improving local healthcare systems in communities and increasing community participation in the decision making around healthcare. At the beginning of the program, there were six core components, but by 2001, I think it was on recommendation of the Healthy Start Task Force of the Secretary Infant Mortality Committee, the recommendation was to expand those components to include perinatal depression screening and interconceptional care, and to add the sustainability plan to the core systems building components. So at this point, there are these nine required core components that are part of the Healthy Start program. This program serves the highest of the high-risk population in the communities, and based on data collected from the Maternal Child Health Bureau reporting system for fiscal year 2011, we saw that the predominant group that's being served is African American. However, if you notice, there are about 20% of white participants and participants of other race groups. And also, you can note from this slide that almost one in four of all participants is of Hispanic origin. Of course, the participants are women of childbearing age, so you find over two-thirds are between 20 and 34, but close to one-third are under 20, and you know births under 20 are also high risk. That's a high-risk group, and we do have a few, about 6%, who are also on the other side of the age spectrum that's in a high-risk group. And then you have two-thirds also are below 100% of the federal poverty level, and then another 10% that are even, that are between 100 and 185% of the federal poverty level. So based on these demographics, you can tell that this is really a very high-risk population that the program serves. Now, I know this is a detailed and complicated logic model, and there is one at a bigger one at the end of your at the end of the handout where you can see it a lot better. But the cross-IT evaluation that we conducted is this logic model sort of hypothesizes the relationship between the contextual factors and the program components and the implementation features of those program components at both the individual and the population level. And also looking at the outcomes over the three time periods, short, intermediate, and long term. The results today would be focused on our assessment of the relationship between the project's implementation of those core components that are required by the program, and the maternal and child health and systems outcomes that you saw outlined in the logic model. And we also would report on some of the factors that influence that relationship between the components and the outcomes. And those will include Healthy Start project characteristics, some of the features of the service and systems activities, and some of the intermediate outcomes that we expect that if programs are able to achieve those intermediate outcomes, then they have a better chance of achieving the long-term outcomes. Now, we did collect a lot of data, but what the results are based on that I'm presenting today are the data that we collected from the project director survey and the performance measures over the time period for 2006 to 2009 that were reported by the individual Healthy Start projects to the Maternal and Child Health Bureau through the digital information reporting system. The survey focused on the program's activities in 2010, and all projects completed the survey. The performance measures are required by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, so that all Healthy Start projects generally report on 15 performance measures. However, we've only used four of those performance measures in the analysis that I am reporting on today. And two of those performance measures are the birth outcome performance measures, infant mortality and low birth weight. One is a service measure, and that measure focused on the portion of participants who actually ongoing source of primary and preventive care. And one is a system measure that looks at the project's activities in relation to ensuring that pregnant women are screened for risk factors. In addition, we utilize state and national benchmarks from the state Title V reporting system, and also the Healthy People 2010 and 2020 objective targets for low birth weight and infant mortality for use as comparisons. So we did both bivariate and multivariate analyses, and our bivariate analyses focused on describing the variables of interest and looking at the ones that that had some relationships. So we used the result. We did these analyses to describe the implementation of the program components, to examine those relationships between the project characteristics and the implementation of the program the Healthy Start program components. We also looked at the relationships between the implementation of those components with the intermediate outcomes, the service and systems activities, and the long-term outcomes reported by the project directors in the survey. And then we use the state and national benchmarks to compare the birth outcomes reported by the projects with those objective targets. Our multivariate analyses focused on an examination of independent associations between the program implementation and birth outcome rates and reported in the performance measures and the achievement of the project's achievement of the national benchmarks that we previously mentioned. So we looked at program component implementation. We used the program component implementation as the main exposure variable, and we used the project characteristics, the intermediate outcomes, the service and the systems performance measures as independent variables or covariates within that model. And we use the performance measures, infant mortality and low birth weight, as our outcome measures. So I have, I have 5 minutes to provide you with a summary of the findings. All of the projects that were part of the analyses implemented all of the 5 core service components, but only 57 of them implemented all 9 of those components. So the 5 service and the 4 systems. And those 57 projects that implemented all 9 also implemented services that supported women for breastfeeding, maintaining a healthy weight, and for smoking cessation. Now, just to give you a quick summary of the bivariate analyses that informed the variables that we included in the final in the multivariate model, what we found that grantee organizations that were state or local government agencies were much more likely to implement all of the core program components, and that those projects that implemented all of those components were more likely to report increased access to services for participants, increased integration of prenatal, primary, and mental health services, and it did increase screening for perinatal depression. When we looked at the relationships between the intermediate outcomes and the long-term outcomes as reported by the project directors in the survey, we found that the Healthy Start project, projects that increase cultural competence of community providers, increase the numbers of participants with a medical home, increase screening for perinatal depression or awareness of the importance of interconception care, and also increase participant involvement in other community activities. We found those that increased all of those showed improved reported improved maternal health, and those that increased some of those improved birth outcomes, and those that increased cultural competence of community providers improved child health. Now, when we looked at those relationship of those outcomes and activities with the achievement of the healthy people objective targets for low birth weight, in relation to intermediate outcomes, well, first let me say that 1/3 of all of the projects actually achieved the healthy people healthy people objective target for low birth weight. So that was 1/3 of the 98 projects that reported in that area. And among those, what you found was that they did increase, they did show increases on a number of the intermediate outcomes and also on the service and systems outcomes that we reported on the slide. Now, when we did the multivariate analyses and we controlled for all of the project, the intermediate variables, the project characteristics and the intermediate outcomes that showed a relationship, what we found was that there is a significant association with higher low birth weight rates among those projects that were located in an urban setting and those projects that were state or local government grantee agencies. And of course, as you can see from the slide, there were no significant association with some of the other variables. And this table shows you all of the details of our final model that from our backward elimination analyses in relation to low birth weight. And our multivariate analyses with infant mortality as the outcome, we found a significant association with higher infant mortality if the project was located in a non-urban setting. And we have reported this as non-urban setting because based on how the data was collected, it included suburban, border, and rural project setting as the comparison to urban setting. And as you would expect in relation to infant mortality, low birth weight, which is a known risk factor, we did find a significant association with higher infant mortality, and there were no significant association in relation to our main exposure variable, which is implementation of the core program components and the other activities. This is our final model based on the similar analyses, the backward elimination procedure. And in relation, based on all our findings, what we think it implies for the Healthy Start projects in operation at this point is that they need to ensure that all needed services are provided to participants, providers are culturally competent, and they need to connect participants to medical homes and encourage collaboration with local agencies and support changes in systems of care at their level. Thank you very much.